Recording. Everyone, sync.
One by one. I think you have to clap louder. The noise cancellation is like... Oh.
Okay. Is everyone ready?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, starting.
Ready.
Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of Think We Podcast. In case you haven't seen our first episode, you can check our YouTube and Spotify, Think We Studios. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any new uploads. Today, for our second episode, we have our very first special guest, Matthew Silo, basketball captain, Folkland CEO, photographer. Let's give him a warm welcome, guys.
More welcome.
Thank you.
So, for our listeners who don't know who you are, how would you introduce yourself?
I mean, like I already told you guys before we started recording, I'm not too comfortable talking about myself. It feels weird introducing myself, but what I do is, like Louis said, I am the CEO of Folkland Park. And I play basketball in the Mizoram Super League. And I'm the captain of BCA right now. And I take pictures on Instagram, make YouTube videos sometimes. That's about it. I don't know. It changes as I go. It's never the same.
So I don't think a lot of people know about how you went to film school, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you've tried many different career paths, film, photography, not career paths, many hobbies you've tried. And like we mentioned in our previous episode, Gary Vaynerchuk emphasizes on having to try different things before you know what you actually want to do. So with all these different things you've tried, what's that one constant principle or one constant thing that you keep constant when trying and
what do you mean
this stuff?
What do you mean?
I don't know
what makes you keep going.
No,
and wanting to try various things. Like, what do you tell?
Well,
do you tell yourself something?
No, not really. Actually, I mean, I guess I'd consider myself lucky in a way. When I went to high school, I probably shouldn't be saying this, but like studies was never my priority. Studies was never my priority. And what I wanted to do in high school was I just wanted to try everything that my school offered, I guess. So I paid more attention to extracurricular activities, outdoor activities, like, you know, a lot of the, what do you call, our school had a lot of hiking and all those. Yeah, I guess that covers it. Sports. I played every sport. I mean, every sport you could try. I was on the football team, basketball team. I played, I tried table tennis, wasn't too good at it. I played, I was on the badminton team one of the years in high school. I mean, my whole focus was just try everything you can while you can. And I've just kept that principle, I guess you could say. Like, even now, I keep trying new things because it's always good to, you know, learn and grow and just keeps things interesting, I guess.
Well, it's pretty obvious why you stuck to basketball.
Yeah.
Tallest
man in Mizoram. How does it feel to have that title? Like, being, how does it feel to be tall among people who are relatively short? Like, what are the reactions that you usually get?
Reactions vary. It's insane. I don't even know what to say because I guess not a lot of people experience it here, especially in Mizoram. I mean, when I'm walking on the streets, it's getting better now because there are so many, like so many of the youth, I could say, like, I mean, the generation after, like, I mean, a little bit younger, they're also like, everyone's getting really tall nowadays. So I think it's kind of becoming normal, but like, I'm 6'5 in a state where the average height is. Do you even know, Vanla? I don't know. What's the average height?
I would estimate it to be 5'8", 5'10".
Yeah, for males, it's probably 5'8".
5'8", yeah, 5'8", 5'7"-ish, I think. So when I go out, it's just, I mean, you can imagine just people staring and commenting. And you know how mizos, we just comment on everything?
Yeah,
and there's would no just be filter by. To anything.
No filter. They'd be walking by and they just stare and be like, "Fun song, AMM," like super loud, and like in my face. And one old lady, she was like carrying a AM. How? What do you call AM in English?
A basket.
Yeah, a basket. I guess she was carrying stuff, and she just goes, "Ekai!" Like everyone stared. So I mean, I don't even know. Yeah. Sometimes it's embarrassing. I try to get used to it. Can't really get used to it. When I was a teenager, like when I was didn't have as much confidence, you know, the awkward years, I would slouch so much because I didn't want to appear tall when walking outside. Then my grandma used to be like, "A lot of people want to be tall. Don't slouch, you know. Be proud of it. Be happy about it." So like I'd try sitting up straight, walking straight, but I mean, it's the comments, man. It gets to you sometimes.
That's true.
Imagine having the privilege to not being want to be tall. You know what I mean?
Like, can't relate. Can't relate. Having to slouch, can't relate.
Yo, when you're the only one experiencing it when you're younger, it doesn't feel too good. But I'm proud of it now. I'm super happy. Helps me in basketball, like you said. Very good. Mm-hmm. It's a sport where being tall is very helpful.
Advantage, yeah.
Yeah, so now I'm really happy about it.
Okay, so going back to Falkland, you're the CEO. So for people who don't know what Falkland Park is, can you explain a little bit about Falkland?
Okay, so Falkland Park is an entertainment park, the first entertainment park in Mizoram. And we have, I guess, right now we have go-karting of the activities. We have go-karting, we have laser tag, we have a children's park, children's play area. We have skating, swimming pool, which you can book, futsal arena, and then we have a cafe as well, music cafe, where we host shows and do a lot of artist promotion and concerts and all of that sort. So it's I guess it's an umbrella where doing a lot of entertainment and just a place to hang out for the youth and just, actually it's for all ages, families, but it started as concentrated more towards the youth, but it's for everyone, honestly.
So now that you've mentioned Falkland, what was your inspiration behind Falkland Park? Why did it start? And can you give us a little backstory behind Falkland?
Yeah, okay. So I can't mention just one thing behind to be the inspiration behind Falkland. It's a bunch of, I mean, I guess experiences and a lot of things that had to come together to, you know, want to create something like this. But one of the things that I remember very distinctly is when, a little backstory, when I was 4 years old, my family, parents and my big brother, we moved to Delhi. So, and I've been raised outside of Mizoram almost my whole life. Went to school and then joined high school in Missouri. After that, went to college in the US. And I only came back in 2015. I've been back home for 5 years. So my whole experience, childhood experience, everything was outside of Mizoram. And one of the things that even today I feel so blessed about is I got to experience so many things that like you don't usually get to experience growing up in Mizoram. And of those things was all the entertainment parks, I guess you could say, and just places like that where you could just go out and enjoy gaming arcades and stuff like that. And we used to come home to Mizoram every I guess some of the summer holidays that we have, the winter holidays, and I used to find that we didn't really have anything to do when I was hanging out with friends. It was just that. It stopped there, like just hanging out.
Yeah.
Sometimes we'd play music. Like, don't get me wrong, I enjoy that. I love that. But there was nothing else more to do. And then when we started getting older a little bit, going into the adolescent years, like teenager, when I came home, the form of entertainment was like going out on rides, you know, how we say ride in Mizoram.
Ride dila.
So you go outside of the city, back then, like some of my friends would, I you know, there'd be booze involved. And that was one of the forms of entertainment as well. And I believe that a lot of those things and a lot of the youth getting used to get into, you know, alcohol and I guess substances as well, because there's no form of expression and there's no form of entertainment, like unadulterated entertainment. That's what we say here at Folkland, unadulterated fun. And the need for that started growing, and the need to have something where you could just go out and enjoy, like a recreational place for the youth. And that's how the whole idea stemmed too. And when you start talking about that, and when we started pitching that to even just the family, you know, it started really snowballing. A lot of other things I'm probably missing out on too, but that was one of the main reasons, like coming home and just experiencing things outside of Mizoram and wanting that for like home, wanting to have all the really fun, great things and being able to experience that in Mizoram. So that's the main frame of how the whole thing started too. Yeah, I guess you could say that. And like I said, if I could just add real quick. So we used to go go-karting and all of those things when we were younger too. So that idea has always been really big in the head. And when I went to college, my friends were like, do you want to go laser tagging? And I'm like, I don't even know what that is. They explained. And then I was like, okay, sounds great. Let's go. We went. I had the most fun. I was, I think, 18 at the time. You know, a bunch of college friends all dressed up in the vest with the guns. And like, you get points. And the whole time, all I remember is just thinking, I want to experience this with my friends back home. I wish my friends were here. And that's just been a recurring theme with everything. And just being blessed enough to be able to do that and bring that to fruition in Mizoram is, I mean, I can't even explain it. That's,
And I also like how Folkland is not just, like, you have different activities, futsal and go-kart and all that, but then you also have, you also provide a platform for a lot of performers, and you also have different events, and I think that's, like, really nice, because it not only gives them a chance, gives people a chance to express themselves, but it also just, brings attention to them, and you can really like find talents all the way in Aizawl too. So
thank you. I mean, go ahead. Sorry.
Yes. you've had big names like Chetan Bhagat or Benny Prasad come to Folkland, and many other bands or people coming over and performing or doing their thing. And how do you pitch to them, or like, what's the secret sauce behind you getting them to Folkland and asking them to do their thing? Like,
I mean,
I don't give all the secrets out, but
I'm complete open book. Like, you can ask whatever you want, but when it comes to that, there's no secret sauce actually. So when we started the Warehouse Cafe, and Warehouse Cafe, like you said, we have a lot of open mic events, and even the Warehouse, it started because, as you all know, Mizos are, and I still believe this so strongly, Mizos are so talented. There's so much talent in Mizoram when it comes to sports, when it comes to music, art, you name it. There's so much talent here. And the only reason we haven't had as much exposure or luck to make it to the next level, like on a national level or international level, I believe, is because we don't have the same platforms or places where, you know, we could just have training or exposure.
Yeah.
So that was one of the very big reasons why we came up with the whole Warehouse Cafe thing. Like, it's a place for performance, but it's also more to nurture the local scene so that things could happen at the next level. Like, you always got to start, you know, in the local scene for that to happen. So that happened, and we just started doing really small events. And I promise you, it didn't just start like, you know, like today you see Folkland and the Warehouse Cafe and you think like, oh, okay, it's a place. Like, I mean, it's become quite a big place and there's so many different activities, but it didn't start like that. I was just having a conversation with some of our staff members the other day, because there are a lot of like new staff members now and they didn't know how it started. So they asked me, and like, it didn't just pop up and start like this. Like, we started small. We had maybe one, two activities at the start, and then it, like, it snowballs from there. It starts from there. And so talking about the cafe, in the beginning, we had very, very small events. No one showed, our first event, no one showed up. Like, we did all the marketing. We did a bunch of stuff. So many likes on social media, like, I'll be there, comments. Everyone was like, yeah, I'm coming. And they were tagging each other. We felt really good. We did all the promotion. No one showed up. Zero sign. Like, anyway, that's where it all started. But like, we started doing all those things small, and it started trickling. Like, maybe the next event, two or three people showed up. They told their friends. Their friends told their friends. Started snowballing like that. And then we did all the, we always take pictures, and we did a lot of promotion on, mainly we use Instagram for most of the things. We have a website now. And so through Instagram, a lot of people saw what we were doing. And they also, they saw the stage, how we were, I guess, promoting events as well. And so, like, again, I said, there's no secret sauce. So we got approached by other people. Like, for example, in the case of Benny Prasad, we were approached by some friends we had worked with here locally. And the people who do a lot of, what do you call it, like praise and worship, and, you know, a lot of those events, they already knew about it and they wanted to have a place where this could happen. So it was through that. And then even with Chetan Bhagat, we were approached by the Young Indians Society, I think. Young Indians is what they're called. So they approached us. They asked if we would be able to host it. And then, but all of that started, and that was possible because we were already running events the whole time, no matter how big or small. And honestly speaking, I don't even know when it started really catching on, but it, like I said, it just happened. Like, you start small, you keep doing it, stay consistent, and it just started happening. So yeah.
It must be such an exciting process, though.
It is.
It's like a small dream you had, and then it just like actually comes to life.
Yeah. You start off with wanting to have a recreational park, and then you become a platform for artists and other talented people to just showcase. So it brings much more meaning to what you have out there that you have created.
And have you guys heard of the what is it called? The law of attraction?
Yes.
I know for a fact that Joy is a huge believer in it. So I mean, that too, like you said, you know, it became a platform for other people and stuff like that. I didn't even remember this, but I had written an essay, and it's, if I look back at it, it's super cringy. Going to college, you know, you have to write a essay or call it personal essay, whatever. So in one of those things, I actually talked about, like, what I wanted to do was mainly inspired by having so many experiences away from home, away from Mizoram, and seeing a lot of things and wanting to bring that experience back home. And I had written about that. And I wrote about how, in a way, I wanted to be, or like, I wanted to get an education so that I could help use my talents to, you know, promote or help other Mizos. And I had written something about that. And I mean, I'm not going to send it to you guys. Super, super cringy, but it was already there. And it was very nice for me to like revisit that and see, like, okay, you know, kind of got me started on the whole law of attraction thing. Like, you visualize something, you think about something, and
it comes true.
A lot of times it happens, comes true. Positive thoughts out in the world.
Positive thoughts, and just be just giving gratitude.
Yeah, I don't want to be the only one talking, guys. I know I'm the guest, but like I want to hear from you.
You're
I haven't talked to you guys in so long.
I think our listeners have had enough of us with our first episode.
We've had whole 50 minutes of us talking. Even our parents were like, how did you go 50 minutes talking? I was like, well, a huge chunk was edited out, so be glad it was just 50 minutes that made it to the final cut. So.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so good luck with the editing, Joy. Good luck with the editing. I know it's a pain.
I know, but you know, I started liking editing. So It's a good pain. I like
it. Fun, right?
Because
it's
when you see the final product, exactly, it's the same thing, smaller. And I never thought I'd get into editing because I've always been more or less of a technophobe, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just sort of a little late on every technology. but I thought, okay, might as well do it. And then I actually liked editing off. So it's a pain, but
how did you learn? Like YouTube or Skillshare?
I just started, I think, on my phone. I think my first vlog was on my phone. And it was some app, I don't even remember.
She had bad software on her computer. I remember it was so like I don't know how she edited from it. But then I think because of her YouTube channel, she started editing. And then you could actually see the progression and her, you know, the way she has really grown as an editor from her YouTube videos.
Yeah, you should see her first thumbnail and her, like, current thumbnail. Like, there's, like, the gap.
Yeah,
can I just say that Joy inspired me to, like, I already told her. But she was the one who actually inspired me to try vlogging. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Cause I like, you know what? I was just saying, like, I'm so happy you guys started this podcast too. Cause you guys just don't care. You don't overthink stuff. You just do it. And that's the whole point that I try to get across to people too. And I tell people, but it's hard for me too to just start. Like, I'll have an idea, I want to do it, and I'll be like, what if? You know, someone doesn't like it. What if they say this? Blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. So I like the fact that you guys just start stuff.
Yeah.
You know? And you're inspiring me. You're inspiring me too. Like, yeah.
Yeah. In the previous episode, you also mentioned about thinking too much over what you want to do. And then you end up letting the idea of whatever you want to do slide and then procrastinate. Mm-hmm. And it is important to execute your ideas before your ideas become oversaturated. So I think that's an important step that everyone has to take.
True.
And with that, I feel like we should talk about the entrepreneurship that's there in Mizoram right now. There's a lot of small entrepreneurs, and especially in this pandemic, you've got thrift shops, you've got handmade gifts, you've got musicians doing their thing. So where do you think this culture of entrepreneurship surges from in Mizoram?
Well, I mean, one of the things that we're so lucky to have now that the generations before us, I guess, didn't grow up with is the fact that we have social media, right? So we have Instagram, we've got YouTube, you got I don't even know. I've never even used TikTok, but I know it's a really good platform for a lot of things. We don't have it now. But anyway.
Yeah.
So the thing with social media is you could put out something right now, like be it a video or be it a picture, and everyone who has that platform across the world, they get it like that. Like everything's instant, super fast. So to not take advantage of that, I mean, it's crazy. And we have it creates so many opportunities because you could have an idea here or you can share an idea here. You could create something or even say you're into music. The music that you create, if you put it out on YouTube or whatever, it's like right now, distribution is at the hands of everyone. And the only thing that you need to really learn now is, I guess, how to market yourself or how to push your, I guess, clothing store or your music or whatever you use it for. And that's one of the important things. But like, if you want to do something when it comes to an online shop or just e-commerce entrepreneurship, I mean, the cost of starting up something is so low now. Everyone has a phone. The phone has a camera. You could learn. I mean, you could get super, super beautiful pictures just on your phone now too. You just have to spend time learning a few skills. And that's what's important today. You have to learn a bunch of other skills. Things are moving really fast. New things are progressing. You always have to keep updating yourself. And the people who do are the ones excelling in the world today. And so I think a lot of the boom in entrepreneurship that we are seeing right now in Aizawl also is, I mean, I know the world is going through a pandemic and it's so hard for so many people. But at the same time, it's forcing a lot of people to rethink how they do things and forcing a lot of people outside of their comfort zone as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a positive to the whole negative, I guess. And so I think that's one of the reasons that all these small businesses or entrepreneurship and all of these things are having a boom right now, you know. And I think it's a really good thing. So many opportunities, so many chances to grab, so many things that haven't been started yet that we're yet to see. So it's exciting too. And again, yeah, those are the pros. Those are the pros of it.
We're all aware of.
Cons, we're all aware. We're all stuck in the loop of endless scrolling. Yeah.
So, would you consider yourself an influencer?
I mean, it depends. It depends because I think that if someone gets value from the things I say or the things I post, I guess you could say influencer, but I don't want to be labeled or seen as the type of influencer. Like, I watched this video once on, what was it, on Facebook or something? And he's like, well, you call yourself an influencer, but what are you influencing?
Mm-hmm.
And that just stuck with me so much. Like, if someone comes to my page on Instagram or if they see maybe my page on YouTube, like, I want people to be able to walk away with something good, you know, even if it's entertainment, just for entertainment. Like, I want to make people feel good or feel excited or something, or like just give people something to walk away with, maybe advice, I guess, or like share stuff from my experience that might be able to help. And then if someone gains something from it, then I wouldn't mind being an influencer. But I also understand that I have to be conscious of what I am influencing, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But just to go out and say, oh, I'm an influencer. No, I would never do that.
Again, it's a pretty cringy term these days. I'm an influencer. So, to rephrase it, I would just say you're a person who has influence in terms of, with respect to the youth in Mizoram.
That's nice to hear, really.
And you do get recognized. I feel. Do they approach you sometimes wanting a photo? Because
you're also the tallest man in Mizoram.
I do get the occasional. I mean, that happens a lot. That happens quite a bit. Sometimes it's just because I'm tall.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes most of the time it's from basketball, like from they've seen me play on TV or something like that, and I'm taking this picture to show my my nephew or something. Like, a lot of the times it's like new moms, I guess. That they'll be like, oh, my son watches you play basketball, I want to get a picture, stuff like that. Yeah.
That's the one you're watching.
No, I'm just checking.
Guys, you guys need to talk too.
Oh, we were just waiting for you to say something inspirational. So with your, well, it's not a mission that you mentioned, it's like one of the philosophies within Folkland. You spoke about having an alternative to substances and alcohol. And I feel like these days, esports or mobile gaming or gaming in general is playing a big role, filling in that gap of entertaining the youth. Where do you think esports stands in Mizoram? Is there a future for esports? And what's your general opinion on gaming in Mizoram?
I mean, that's a really good question. And it comes back to what we were talking about earlier, right? The pros and cons of, I mean, earlier we were saying social media, but
yeah.
I guess Internet, you could also just slip in technology in general as well. And esports, I think, is so good. I actually started gaming again after getting married. Started gaming again. Amelia hates it sometimes, but she's more understanding now. But I think there's such a big scope for it, especially in, I mean, in Mizoram too. Because like we said earlier, there's no boundaries in the world anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, when we're talking about like, the internet world? Space? No, the internet space.
Cyberspace.
Like, cyberspace.
Yeah.
There's no walls. Like,
yeah.
Right now we're tuned in from Delhi. I'm tuning in from Mizoram. Joy's from Netherlands, right?
Yeah.
So this is just, like, I mean, sometimes we take it for granted, but this is super cool. So there's a huge scope for a lot of the youth in, not just the youth, for anyone in general who wants to get into esports. Because I know some guys, actually, I think he's a, I don't know how old he is. he's a YouTuber. He plays Among Us, you know, the game Among Us.
Yeah.
It's really funny. He has more than like millions of views on YouTube, and he's just doing it from Mizoram too. Like, everything is all blurred together now. It doesn't matter where you're from. If your content is good or if you're good at the game that you're playing. I know some people who are playing PUBG, and they're getting paid like around 15,000 rupees a month from Delhi. They're playing from here. They play for a team. They train with the team. And everything can be done from your bedroom. So it's not like the earlier days of gaming where you're just literally wasting your time. Now it can be used to, it's a profession now. You could get paid for it. A lot of money is in esports. And I'm pretty sure it's going to start trickling in India as well. When they really treat it seriously, there's going to be such a big scope for everyone who can tap into that. And it's really good. But it's not all fun and games. Like, if you want to get into esports, it's like everything else. You have to play so much. Like, Vanlal, you know Ninja, the guy who plays Fortnite? Yeah, I watched his interview. He said he games for 10 hours, more than 10 hours a day, every day. Because, like, if he doesn't do that, some kids get better.
Yeah. Like,
and
like,
everyone keeps playing, so they keep improving. So if you want to stay at the top of the game, you have to keep playing. So it's not something like, oh, I want to play this game. I'm good at this game. I'm going to be an esports player. It's serious. But again, if you get into it, it's really, really good. I believe it's really, really good. It's the next big thing.
Will we be seeing a Twitch channel from you?
Nope.
Will you be?
Nope. I'm not going to stream because I play PUBG on the PC. Always the first one to die. I don't think anyone wants to watch that. Or if they want to laugh, I could stream, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's either you're entertaining or really good at what you do. Or like with that game, you know.
Yeah, here's
like
a thought.
You just mentioned Twitch too. Like, Twitch is also another crazy platform.
Yeah.
On that thought, Twitch is a really huge platform right now for a lot of esports-based content creators. And it's not that big in Mizoram right now from what I've seen. And considering you think of like as a influencer, why don't you start it so that you influence kids in Mizoram to start it? Like, That's just a thought that came into mind.
We're pitching. I mean,
I'm pitching ideas now. No, I mean, I don't think it's necessary for me to start it. I think I guess we could maybe talk about it more if you want. You guys could think of something too. But I think more people will see where it's going, because I have a feeling it's on the verge. I think it's going to blow up because there are a lot more people from Mizoram getting into gaming. And I think they'll probably see the perks of it. And yeah, I think it'll happen too. I don't know.
Yeah.
If I were to stream, what would I do? Like, I don't know.
Come with my bad PUBG game. Like, even if you're not good at it, just do it. You just be the starter of something.
Oh, maybe we'll try. I don't know.
I think he has too much on his plate, to be honest. He's a busy guy. I don't know how long it took, but it was pretty difficult to get him into this podcast. And
it's because of him. We had to wake up and on a weekday.
Wait, what time is it where you're at, Joy?
Right now, it's 12:42 now. But I had to get up. We started. I don't know.
Do you have class?
No, not today.
Okay. Yeah. Then you're fine. We can talk. I got time. No worries.
No. But just like last time they were blaming me because they were like, it's because of Joy that we have to stay up this late and record.
It was 2 a.m. Joy. We were up.
I know, but still, it wasn't because of me. It was because all of us were free at that time. So thank you. Now that we have a guest, we've all agreed on timing and no blame game here. But yeah.
So I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So you guys started the podcast, right? And I think the name's really clever. Very, very punny. Very punny, okay. Like you said.
Okay. Yeah. So Kimmy was very adamant we do this, but we have to give props to Kimmy for thinking of this name. She was the Kimmy. Mastermind behind Kink.
Mastermind Kimmy. Mm-hmm. Okay. I like it. Love the name. But I think it's really good that you're starting this. I don't know where you're going to drive it. It's good that the fact that you just started. So my question is, what are you guys doing right now individually? And where do you guys think you're headed? Like, I know Vanlal wanted to try clothing company or something before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so what are the things going on in your lives? I mean, what's going on? What are you trying to do?
Joy.
Vanlal's having PTSD.
Joy is a YouTuber.
Clothing company.
Oh, I did it before days. It was cool. Joy, you start. The mic's on you.
Okay. Well, yeah. I have a YouTube channel now. That's about it. I don't know where it's going to go. I'm doing my master's right now in creative industries because I like... that's one thing I want to still continue studying. And just giving me a lot of insight about the industry, so it's more like a very from a cultural perspective, but also in like an insight, really we kind of dive deep into what each industry is doing. So I think it still does kind of aligns with what I like doing in general. So it has always been something with the media. I've loved social media for the longest time. I've always wanted to do vlogging, or at least pretended I was a YouTuber for the longest time, but only started it very recently. Mm-hmm. And but that's the thing. I think I don't know where I want to go with it, but the biggest thing for me was to just start it and see where it goes. And it's just like something that I've been doing for the longest.
You sound like Gary Vee. What you just said.
But he was the main influence. I think Gary Vee, I discovered him. I got to know about him in 2018, 2017 summer, I think. and he really stuck with me. He was just like, just do it, what's stopping you? And there was obviously it's much harder.
It's really hard.
But I think the first few videos I watched or whatever content he put out was about being able to make money. And so I actually started selling my, like, reselling clothes. And that was one of the first few ways how I earned a bit of money. And I thought, okay, I can actually do this. And then eventually I got more of content, because I think it was 2017 summer, if I'm not wrong, that I had nothing to do. I was just in Delhi. It was summer vacation and I was always at home. And he just sort of said, yeah, just do it. And then obviously there were a lot of other things I had to still consider, like who's going to watch it and what are my friends going to think? And but then I think I reached the point where I was like, no, I think Gary Vaynerchuk said something about documenting your whole life. Like, it's a process. Yes. It doesn't have to be like the final product. And I thought vlogging is a great way to just document how things are. And first video was fine. I guess it was just me and my camera falling several times. But I
wasn't
thought,
it a cow chasing Philip?
That was the second video.
Oh.
Yeah. First video was just me in the bedroom. And at that time, it was like, okay, I kind of enjoy this. And when I put it out, I got quite a good positive feedback. They said, we want more. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, okay, I should start editing on the laptop, on a computer instead.
Yeah.
And there was this, I don't know, really bad software that I use and it kept crashing. So
yeah,
I wasn't able to put out on time. And then all these people, Louis, Violin, everybody was like, we're going to unsubscribe if you don't put it out. And they were pressuring me. But then in a good way, that meant they actually still wanted to see, or they wanted to see themselves at least. So I thought, okay.
I think then it's more that reason. That they wanted to see themselves.
And they also wanted to see Philip and Louis get chased by a cow. But it's just things like that. I think after the second, third video, I realized that that's what I like doing, just documenting what I've been doing, where I am, the things that we say, and then just looking back at it whenever you can. It's like home videos. Like, you can just make your homemade family videos that you watch, your childhood videos, but now it's like in a vlog form.
Yeah.
So now, like, we're way past everything, but then it's really nice to just go back and look at it. And I mean, at least the Bali vlogs were really fun.
Bali vlogs were good.
Because all of us, now that we're stuck here, all of us like just going back to those times, and then it's like, and sometimes we wouldn't even remember the things we said. Pictures are fine, but then they're just pictures. They're still. But through video forms, we're like, oh, I didn't remember, like, we said something like that or we did that. So it brings up like a whole other experience.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know where I'm going to go with YouTube.
You don't have to.
Yeah. You don't have to know. Starting was the, like, that was the main thing. I said, I just want to start now. And I don't want
to. It's like a modern day diary, you know, to have videos, like, and experiences put on Instagram. And
exactly.
People do that.
I mean, it's crazy. That's going to be so funny. Like, when, I mean, we get older one day.
Exactly.
I mean, because, like, when we, by God's grace, we get to live long. Mm-hmm. You're going to be able to tune into 2018 or whenever you start and be like, oh, that was me in my youth.
Yeah,
you know, you could tell your kids and grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be so weird.
It's
going to be something else.
Yeah.
I remember, like, years ago, Joe and I had a blog. Like, we, each of us had a blog where we used to, like, write about our, we actually used it like a personal diary, our blogs. And
yeah,
it was kind of embarrassing. But when I reread my blog, I'm like, oh, it's so funny. Like, I always laugh at the stuff I said. I'm just like, wow, such a dramatic blog.
Yeah, I remember the blog days. So I think that's also another thing. Like, at least the three of us have tried so many, like, forms of stuff.
I have a fun fact to share. Joy's younger brother and I have a gaming channel which we started in 2013. So if you search on YouTube Friendly Strike 3, the most viewed video of Friendly Strike 3 is our channel. It's currently at 9k views right now.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And he still shows off with that. He started years ago and he's like, I have more views than you.
Even I started with YouTube around 2008 or 2009, and we put a random webcam video, my brother and I, where we where we scripted the whole thing on the spot while the camera was on. So I'm like, you do this, I do this. And then my parents eventually had to take the video off themselves because we were still young and we didn't know what the internet was.
It was, how to wrestle your brother, or how to get rid of your brothers.
And they just scripted the whole thing.
I wish I could see that.
Going back to homemade videos.
Oh no, I know where this is going.
Matthew and I have made so many home movies. One was my most distinct memory was we were pretending we were in a car crash. And then there is like a slow, and then we were like driving, and then we got into a car crash, and there's this slow montage of his toy car flipping on the floor. Make it look like we fell off a cliff. So
see,
we've come a long way.
That was the beginning of the filmmaking days.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, we could say that all of us want to express ourselves where we can.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's photography or YouTube, that's where we want to go. Mm-hmm. And with me specifically, I feel like management, more like strategic management, is where I would like to go.
Mm-hmm.
And digital marketing is very important these days. And to be, mm-hmm. and even with ThinkPee Studios, the reason we wanted a unique name was SEO, search engine optimization. So when you search on Google or YouTube, the first result will always be us.
Mm-hmm.
So certain strategic decision making like those is what I'm interested about. And just making creative stuff and doing creative stuff with the potential that we have with the internet right now. So I'm getting along with those lines.
That's good.
And yeah.
Interesting.
What about Louis?
Louis?
For me, the thing is, I have a lot of passions. I have a lot of stuff that I like to do. There's no one thing. And when I think about my future, there's like there's no one thing I want to do. Right now also, there's no one thing I'm doing. And I want to be that person that supports people. Like right now, Joy, Vandal, and I, we're like, okay, let's start a podcast. And I was like, okay, 100% do it. And then my friend's like, oh, help me start this Instagram thing. Like one of my friends asked me, hey, let's start this mini shop. Let's sell these stuff. I was like, okay, like that's the kind of person I want to be. Like supporting people's ideas and be giving, like, I'm a jack of all trades, master of none, but I don't mind. That's my specialty. Being there for everything.
That's good. That's good. No, I just wanted to ask you guys because I'm legit curious. We haven't hung out in a long time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I like what you said in trying a lot of things, having a lot of passions, because I think that's very, 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 very important. And going back to what Vanal was saying, I think a lot of people don't realize how much you could learn from the internet. And even if they do realize it, I feel like a lot of people still don't use it, because like we were talking about Folkland earlier, and when we were like getting it off the ground, I was 21 when I came back, 21 years old. And so you guys know I have a degree in filmmaking. I went to university for filmmaking. So nothing about business, entrepreneurship, zero.
Yeah.
And before we started Folkland, I really had to learn everything, right? Like how do you register your business, something as small as that. But what I really want to stress, and I tell a lot of people, is that you don't have to have formal education in a lot of things. You could learn a lot of things online from books, like overemphasize books, because most of the things I learned about business, everything I got from books. I read management books, I read marketing books. I still do to this day, so that we can improve a lot of things. And I think that's really, really important to know that you could start something that you didn't go to school for necessarily.
Yeah.
And that's the world we live in today. If you want to do something, unless it's a doctor, engineer, or yes, stuff like that.
Please go to school if you're going to become a doctor.
Please go to school, because you're not going to learn how to do surgery from
the internet.
From the internet. And if you do, that is messed up. And I don't even think that's legal. But for other things, like especially entrepreneurship, a lot of the things you learn through experience. Like I learn a lot of things from books, but at the same time, unless I applied that knowledge that I learned, it never really stuck and you don't understand. So that was also the good thing about when Folkland started. Like I told guys earlier, I was learning about marketing. You know, the good thing is I learned how to take and photography. I taught myself photography. All of those things came back in when we were starting, because we had to use social media marketing and all of that to get attention. Like I said, you go through a lot of things. First event, zero people. But at the same time, you know, you learn more about SEOs, learn more about, social media marketing in general, a lot of the things that you could do with that. So you don't have to have all the pieces in place to start something. And I really, really want to stress that. And if you want to do something, just go. Just start.
Just start.
Yeah. And I also think it's very important to have a lot of passions, Louis, because and to have a lot of passions, you have to try a lot of things, because until you try something, you don't know, is it for me? Is it not for me? You really got to figure that out too. Exactly. So, yeah.
That's some good advice. And I hope the viewers or listeners who are still listening have, you know, got it into their heads what our very special guest has just said. Because I am inspired.
Inspired to do it. Unless you're a software engineer.
Bundle, 12 a.m. at night, he'd be like, guys, let's start an entertainment park. Let's start a cafe.
Vandal at every late night is like, okay, do you want to start a blog? Do you want to start a t-shirt business? You know, we can try bitcoins. Like, okay. Every other night, okay.
So, for the final question, Folkland, you knew where it was. You know how it is right now. Mm-hmm. Is there an open end to where do you want Folkland to head in terms of an organization? Where do you see Folkland going, and where do you want it to be at the end?
Okay. I don't think it's as open. Like, I can't just go ahead and say, okay, this is it. This is where we're headed. But one of the values that we have here at Folkland, or just one of the business practices in general, is that I noticed that a lot of businesses, and coming back to Mizoram in general too, like the time when you start the business, when people start the business, is always where it's best. And this was before it's getting before. Now it's getting better. People are more educated, more careful. But a lot of the times when you start something, and I'm sure you guys know what I'm talking about, that would be the best. Like, you start maybe some sort of, I don't know an example. You just start some business. There's no maintenance.
Yeah.
Everything's good. You know, the building's really nice and everything. And what happens is people don't reinvest. So the starting point is the best, and then it declines, and goes down. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things we stress in our staff meetings as well, as every day that we're here at Folkland working here, the next day should be an improvement. No matter how small, we have to keep improving and growing.
Yeah.
And so that growth mindset, if you will, is something that we hold very important. So I can't just say this is what we intend to do, but there's a lot of things that we want to do with it. And And I'm really sad about this year too, because like we were gaining a lot of momentum in terms of like people visiting the park and everything. But okay, we can't can't cry over all of that. But the main gist of it is just to grow and keep on innovating, and it could change. Like right now we have we're kind of trying to switch a few things around, but we don't know where it's going, so I can't talk about it yet. But it's always trying to have that growth mindset and trying to improve from it. Oh, can I just mention one thing more? Same thing. So like you said, like you know where Folkland is now today. Like people come and just see this and they think like this is where it just started. Like, and that's not the fact. It started with it started with only a few things, and you don't start paying yourself immediately in the beginning. That's what I want to tell to your viewers who maybe intend on starting something of their own. Like I didn't pay myself in the beginning. I act as an employee as well, so like there's a fixed salary for myself as well. So everything that comes in the business, the revenue generated, doesn't just go into the owner's pockets, or like it doesn't work like that. There's a separate account specifically for the business, like Folkland business, which we then use to, when revenue comes in, we use that to improve or to fix or to maintain. And you guys know the maintenance is like it takes a lot.
It is a pretty big part.
So just in the maintenance alone, you know, a lot of time, energy, and money is spent on that alone. So in order to improve, you have to keep reinvesting. It has to go back to your business. And and a lot of people have this misconception that, oh, you have Folkland Park now, you're rich, blah blah blah. I'm really not. Because there's so many things you have to consider. You have to pay back the loan, and then like so many things, and everything that comes in, you can't just spend it. Otherwise, your business is not gonna last. And even now, I still don't consider myself a successful businessman, because for that you need the test of time, right? Folkland's only we're going on 4 years right now, and that's very small when it comes to the business world. Like a lot of businesses fail in the first 5 years, and we haven't even reached the 5 year goal yet. So it takes time to really, you know, just run and grow your business. So I just want to put that out there in case people have misconceptions that it's all just, you know, oh, you start a business, you have a business, you're rich. That's not the case. There's a lot of late nights, a lot of hard work. That's very, very important. If you don't have that, you're probably not going to succeed when it comes to business.
A lot of any projects or any entrepreneurial creative projects, it could be a small business, could be a big business too, but it's like you constantly need to invest so much in it, so much of time, energy, and even money in it, and you need to constantly put a lot of efforts. And like I think a lot of misconception is about like you previously mentioned, your gamer friend who also has to put in so many hours just to play, just to keep improving. So it's like, yes, from the outside it like it's great, like you've got it
like
together.
it's fun.
I get it, like of course it's fun, but it's also like you have to put in so much of time and effort into it. And because it's the rate is like success rate or like growth rate, whatever, is either it's like sluggish, it's going down, and you have to sort of keep improving on yourself, on your business, to keep up with like to still keep it going, I guess.
I think is there a time limit? Are we closing? Because I've got something to say.
Yes, you can. We all needed this.
To all the Joy, you have to edit this in. To all the viewers, I'm so sorry if I'm rambling, but I have a lot to get off my chest.
That's what we want this podcast for. We so, were like, yeah.
Yeah. Something that I...
You're muted.
Wait, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
Okay. So something that bugs me a lot when it comes to our society, Mizo society, is there's so much, negativity, and there's so much gossip that goes around just in our very, very small town, in a very bad way. Like when someone tries to start something or when someone's giving an effort in a field, be it whatever, be it music, sports, the first thing that we tend to do, which we need to change, is we tear each other down, right? So if someone's doing really good or succeeding at something, people want to talk about their failures or how, they can do that because, or this person's able to do that because, instead of focusing on the positive stuff. And I believe that because there's so much gossiping and backtalking in our society, which, and I don't want to just erase a problem unless there's a solution. And the solution is we can try to do that less. Like, really, it's just that simple. And the problem with all the gossiping and all the unwarranted advice, I guess, you know, how people you've never even met just give you advice on stuff. What this does is it causes a lot of fear in people, and again, especially the youth, because when in your formative years and you try to do something and you go to your friends or your family with something that you're really excited about and something new that maybe it hasn't been done before, people are more quick to tell you why you can't do it rather than try to help you on how you can make it happen. And they'll be quick to point out all the reasons why you can't do something. And I think that's something that really, really needs to change if we want to grow as individuals and also as a society. That I think we should be more supportive of each other. And that's the only way you can grow, like create win-win situations for everyone. And yeah, that's one of the things that I mean, I've noticed, I've experienced. Like starting Folkland, it wasn't always the best things. Like I had like some family members too who told me like, oh, futsal won't work in Mizoram. I'm like, we haven't even tried it yet. And they're like, why do you want to do futsal, you know? People don't even pay to play on the field. And I'm like, I mean, we're more quick to tear each other down than
that's true,
pick each other up and push each other. So that's something that we need to work on.
I kind of agree with the whole, you know, always talking about, you know, someone else gossiping or just trying to tear each other down. And to that, I want to say is, like, the world is not that small. Like, you know, it can get to your head. Like, somebody says something, it can really get to your head. But you really have to, like, tell yourself, like, the world isn't that small. Like, okay, maybe your neighborhood auntie doesn't want to agree with that, but then, you know, there's billions of people who just might be agreeing or like interested in it at least. And, you know, the moment you hear something like that or feel that way, it's like, tell yourself, and then you have to like kind of expand on it. Like,
it's important to persist among all of these opinions. So
and it's also
It's easier said than done, right?
Yeah, it's
easier said than done, definitely. But always like try to like, you know, get more perspective and different people and different opinions. And just I think throughout the podcast we also said how, you know, cyberspace and with the internet, like there are no borders, like you can reach out to so many other people than how we did before. So it's also like easier to get perspective. It's easier to like, you know, like think outside the box, talk to people apart from your own like one demographic, let's say, and get, you know, various perspectives on them. And it's easier said than done, but if anybody wants to, you know, try something new, just go for it at this point.
Go for it. Try. Just try. Just do it.
And also, like, don't bring other people down just because they're doing it either.
Yeah. With that, Joy.
I'm gonna check if my video is still recording.
Mine stopped in the middle.
It is.
Okay. So Joy or Louis?
Why? Because you ended the last time saying kamuto and then you just went off. Like, kamu, that's wild. Are we done yet?
Yeah, pretty much.
I think Louis was better at closing it.
Yeah.
Before you close, thank you so much. Thank you so much for asking me to be on your podcast. I'm the first guest. I'm so honored. I'm so happy.
Mm. Oh, yes, we forgot to thank you.
No. What do you mean?
Thank you for being a part of our podcast.
No, because we're like, who do we call that will be inspiring for our listeners? And then we're like, someone who we're comfortable enough with to have a conversation so that even if we mess up, it's okay. He'll laugh with us.
Yeah, it's just like you said, like, your first event when hardly any people showed up for us, it was the same thing. It was like, our first guest, who would even want to be here, first of all? It's just the three of us. And if they're here, will they, like, you know, be comfortable and will they say something? But then thank you so much for saying something.
Yeah. Thank you for being a part of this podcast. And with that.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation. And again, I apologize to all the listeners if I was rambling. Tried my best.
No.
It's very hard being in front of the camera. Can't get used to it.
With that, thank you for all the viewers and listeners who are listening right now. Be sure to like, subscribe, share, or subscribe.
Yes.
Do you want me to do the ending?
Yes, please.
We're just gonna end with a sarabarakribe.
So with that, we'll be closing. Thank you so much, Umetiu, for being our first guest, and I hope everyone who is listening was able to come out and was able to have a new influential moment.
Was able to think.
Yes, that was the word I was trying to get to.
That was the
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming to our podcast, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel and our Spotify Thinkpui Studios. And goodbye.
Bye. Thank you.
Okay.
Stop recording.